From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Running Through the Pain, the last in this series on Hebrews chapter 11. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled At God's Bidding. The text is Micah chapter 5 and verse 7. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. If this be true of the literal Israel, much more is it true of the spiritual Israel, the believing people of God. When saints are what they should be, they are an incalculable blessing to those among whom they are scattered. They are as the dew, for in a quiet, unobtrusive manner, they refresh those around them. Silently but effectually, they minister to the life, growth, and joy of those who dwell with them. Coming fresh from heaven, glistening like diamonds in the sun, gracious men and women attend to the feeble and insignificant, till each blade of grass has its own drop of dew. Little as individuals, they are, when united, all-sufficient for the purposes of love which the Lord fulfills through them. Dewdrops accomplish the refreshing of broad acres. Lord, make us like the dew. Godly people are as showers which come at God's bidding, without man's leave and license. They work for God, whether men desire it or not. They no more ask human permission than the rain does. Lord, make us thus boldly prompt and free in thy service, wherever our lot is cast.
Let alone
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Dr. Cairns has reached the final message in his series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, and today he continues the theme of running through the pain, a very apt expression taken from athletic competition. The spirit of chapter 11 carries over into chapter 12, so the text for this message is found in verses 4 through 13 of chapter 12, where the apostle reminds his readers that they have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Again, the emphasis is upon believers not giving up in the face of persecution, opposition, or difficult circumstances. God the Father uses these hardships for a number of purposes in the lives of His people. The Bible makes it clear that Christians face many obstacles as they seek to live for Christ. There are things to be resisted, such as the world, the flesh, and the devil. This constant demand for resistance causes the believer pain. Yet, as Dr. Cairns will point out, believers have consolation in their pain because we have a word from God. It is vital that God's people study the Bible daily in order to learn of Christ and to find the consolation that He alone can provide. Now to continue this message, Running Through the Pain, here is Dr. Cairns.
There are forces dedicated to our downfall and to our defeat in this great race in which we're engaged. And he says you're resisting the world with all its entrapments and all its enticements. That's a word that seems to be sort of out of date for what we could call the modern Christian. Modern Christian's way is to get as like the world as he can get, to justify as much of the world as he can justify, to assimilate as much of the world as he possibly can, and to dress it up under the guise of Christianity. That's the modern way, but it's not the biblical way. The biblical way is to resist the world, to resist its encroachments into your thought patterns, to resist its encroachment into your life patterns, to resist its encroachment into your home, to resist its encroachments into the church. Resist the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yet the whole idea of the attraction of the world is to drop our defenses, to destroy our hatred of it, and to inculcate within us something first of a tolerance and then of a love for the world. We are to resist it. We are to be out of step with this present evil age. Now, when he speaks of the world, he's not speaking of the birds and the flowers and the trees gazing up into the heavens. They are the handiwork of God. You can use that world and enjoy it. But when you're resisting the world, you're resisting this age. You're resisting the contemporary expression of man's rebellion against God. And he says, in effect, this is going to be a cause of trouble and conflict, affliction, if you resist the world. But of course, you've also to resist the flesh. There are many people, and they can resist the world, or at least apparently resist the world, but they are very easy in their own flesh. If you turn to Galatians chapter 5, you'll find what the works of the flesh are. There's many a person who never sets foot inside what we call a public house, an inn or a bar, or whatever you call it here, never gets into those things, never goes to a racetrack, never spends money in gambling, but he's guilty of uncleanness. He's guilty of hatred. He's guilty of variance, divisions needlessly among the people of God. He's guilty many a time of emulations, wrath, strife. Now these are some of the things that we are to be resisting, and the whole list indeed there in Galatians 5. But we are to strive against the flesh. And of course, that is conflict. That is hard warfare in your mind, in your heart. That is something that's going to induce a real battle. When you have to fight yourself, when you've got to get to Calvary, when you've got to feel the sword of the Spirit put into your own flesh, when you've got to deny yourself. I was brought up, at least partly, in the Salvation Army. That's where I was saved. Salvation Army had what they called self-denial week. I think, to be quite honest, it was a carryover from the idea of Lent. I never really could figure it out, to be quite honest, why they had self-denial week. But I think it was to emphasize, originally, not just that you set aside a week out of 52 weeks of indulgence, you take one and you say, I'm going to deny myself. I think that William Booth's ideas would have been that in this week we're going to highlight the truth that the Christian life is a life of self-denial. When you read the history of the early Salvationists, there may be many things that in their theology you would not like. But you've got to stand in absolute awe of their dedication. You've got to stand with head bowed and shame in your heart when you see those young men and those young women going out into the slums of England, say Eastern London. They'd given up everything. They had no money. They had nothing. But a heart on fire for God. And they were denying themselves in order to glorify Christ. Yes, we're going to have to strive against the flesh. And then, of course, you strive against the devil. You resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, everything that opposes our spiritual progress is to be resisted. And that's a cause for pain. But he says particularly striving against sin. Now, you'll find sin in two places. You'll find it in yourself, and you'll find it in others, in here and out there. Two places you find sin. And Christians have to strive against sin in both places. Now, do you see what he's saying, therefore? That sanctification is a painful work. Sanctification is a work that's going to hurt the flesh. Sanctification will bring you through circumstances which will be, unless by faith you lay hold of Christ, will bring you through discouragement. Sanctification is putting of the knife to the flesh. It's the putting of the sword to the old man. It's nailing him to the cross, and that's never easy. And when you're striving against your own sin. Striving against your own sin. Striving against your own wicked thoughts. Striving against your own wicked intentions. Striving against your own wicked prejudices. Striving against your own wicked words. And the things that you yourself are normally inclined to do. It's always easier to put the finger in, for you to put the finger in my sin and for me to put the finger in your sin. But when you're striving against your own sin, it's difficult. It's hurtful. It's sore work. Sanctification leads to pain. And of course, standing for God. When you strive against sin in society, sin in the church, sin in the world, then you're obviously going to, again, have a cause for pain. The cause for our pain, then, resisting and striving. But verse 5 gives us our consolation in the pain. Some commentators believe this should be a question, not a bald statement, and ye have forgotten. They think that it should be, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? The word exhortation is a very interesting word. If you turn back to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, indeed the two letters, you'll find that the verbal form of this word occurs 8 times in 1 Thessalonians. It occurs a further twice in 2 Thessalonians. While this very word that we have, the noun, in our text this morning, occurs once in each of these Thessalonian epistles. Now, let's see just how it is translated. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, our exhortation. Same word as we have looked at. Verse 11, the verbal form, we exhorted. Now, chapter 3, verse 2, to establish you and to comfort you. Same verb. And then again, verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted. Same word. To not go down them all. Let's come to chapter 4, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, you will see immediately that this is a word with really a scope of meaning that gives you exhortation, but it is an exhortation that has in it the idea of comfort. The word literally means a calling alongside. Do you remember that great title of the Holy Ghost? He's called the Paraclete. The one who is called alongside to help. He is therefore our comforter. But he does more than comfort. He's called alongside. He exhorts. He urges. He convicts. And of course he comforts. But it's all in the context of consolation. Now that's the word that Paul is using here in verse 5. Have ye forgotten the exhortation, the comfort, that which is called alongside of us? And he goes on to quote the Old Testament scriptures. Now then, I want you to see this very carefully. We do have a consolation in our pain. And the first consolation that he's pointing here is this. We have a word from God. We have a divine book. When Paul is talking to these people and he's saying you're going through trouble and trial and tribulation, he says, look, have you forgotten that you've got a book from God? Have you forgotten that there's a word from God? Have you forgotten that in this word there is just the right word for you? So instead of simply sinking down under your troubles, instead of simply feeling sorry for yourself and bemoaning your lot and flying in the face of God, will you not go back to the scriptures? Why have you forgotten the book of God? Why do you not get the Bible down, get alone with God, and seek the word that God has for you? Because he has a word for you. If you're hurting today, God has a word for you. If you're tempted, there's a word here specifically for you. If you're needing guidance, there's a word here specifically for you. If your mind is in turmoil through many causes, then there's a word specifically here for you. Don't forget it. Don't give up the Bible by running after man's wisdom. Don't give up the Bible by simply wanting to indulge in self-pity. He says, listen, we have a consolation. The Holy Ghost has inspired a word, and it comes alongside of us. Not only that, it comes alongside of us to call us alongside of the Lord. Because here is our consolation, the best way to face life with all its pains and problems is to see everything in the light of the Word of God. And when you can see what's happening to you in the light of God's Word, when you can see this is what God says about it, then, my friend, you will be seeing it in the best way and you'll get the power to live as the Lord would have you live. I don't think I'm going too far afield if I say the exhortation, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, taken from Proverbs chapter 3. But that exhortation, that which is called alongside, is tied in with the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost, our comforter, will work within us, what will he do? He will bring us to the Word. And he will let us through the Word see what's happening and give us grace to go on. The consolation in our pain.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.